Today, I have a great show for you to. So I'm glad you're here. Welcome, fellow deplorables. Welcome, the Anime Show Posse. So glad to have you on another episode. Today, I am talking to a man who was behind or helped out with the Arizona audit. He's also running for office. He's also was a helpful part in removing the mask mandates off of airplanes. So we're hearing from him today on this episode. He's a friend of mine. I really respect him. I always love hearing when he speaks at events. And so I'd encourage you to go check his website out. But up next, joining me on the Anime Show is Alex Colladan, and he's going to be talking to us about, how he got involved and all that stuff. So you're going to hear from him. So election integrity is not dead in Arizona. You thought it was. It's not. It's still very alive and well. And Arizona has some exciting things coming up. Some exciting things coming up. So it affects the entire nation. So you just stay tuned to Arizona. In the meantime, please go visit the website at theamermayshow.com. Click on the promo section. I have partnered with Patriotic Businesses to help save you money, and then they help support the Amber May Show. So it's a win-win situation for everybody. You win, I win, they win. So we're supporting a business that gives you a discount that supports the Anime Show. And while you're there, why don't you go check out the merchandise that's on the website? Please follow me on Telegram. There's a lot of things that I don't share all the time on air, and you can get the full scoop when you go to Telegram and find the Amber May Show there. I'm on True Social and Frank Social at Amber May. So follow me on all those places so you can get more information than what you just get on the show. So up next is Alex Colladan. I hope you enjoy it. I told you before, guys, I'm very excited about the show because Alex and I have talked off air several different times, and I've heard him speak, and the things he talks about, it just gets me excited. He's running for House of Representatives, Arizona, but he was a big part of the Arizona audit. He was a part of helping during COVID and stuff like that. So, Alex, I'm excited to have you on the show. Welcome to the Amber May Show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Amber.
So I want my audience to get to know you a little bit. So tell me your background, and then I want to talk about your candidacy a little bit, but I really do want to talk about how you even got involved because some people don't realize the Arizona audit and the elections here in Arizona are still ongoing. It's not a dead thing yet. It's still ongoing. Things are still happening. But tell us a little bit of background on how you got started and why you want to even run for office.
Sorry, I had to do the Jeb Bush
Of
thing, drink some
course.
water.
Of
So I've been doing election integrity work since about 2014. I'm a lawyer. Grew up here in the Valley in Scottsdale and Chandler, and went to college back east. Decided it was a little too cold for me, so I came back here to teach. Because growing up, I had had a lot of learning difficulties, and it was only because my mom, got to pick a school that worked for me and drove me down, on the days before the 101 was built from North Scottsdale all the way down to Chandler, taking a school that worked. I even had the opportunities that I did to go to college.
Wow.
And so I really wanted to give that back. So after I went to college, I taught at a charter school with a lot of economically disadvantaged kids. My proudest professional achievement outside of the field of law is definitely bringing those kids in 1 year from zero knowledge of the Constitution to being able to grill a congressman on whether his legislation is really constitutional. It was super cool. And I come from a family of teachers. My mom's a teacher. My wife teaches at Mesa, Scottsdale. So then, but I always knew I wanted to go to law school. So eventually I did, and I was exiled back east again. During my first summer of law school, I got to be a Reagan Fellow at the Goldwater Institute, which is really cool. And got out of school, came back, worked for a big firm doing defense work for like Toyota and Honda and stuff like that. And I just kind of realized it wasn't for me. Started my own firm, just kind of to see how that would go, and talked to some of my old friends at the Goldwater Institute. And, you know, here's how stupid I was. I'd come from a real estate background. My parents were real estate brokers. So my thought process was, oh, hey guys, like, do you know any like HOAs that need lawyers or whatever? And I said it to my old boss, who was Clint Bullock, is now Justice Bullock. And he said, well, no, Alex, I don't know any HOAs that need lawyers, but I sure do know some people in politics who do. Within about a year after graduating from law school, we were in trial in our first election integrity case. I brought down my friend Don Cartier, who hadn't even passed the bar yet, to be my co-counsel. I said, Your Honor, he's not admitted, but can he just sit here with me and help me out at the counsel table? She said, sure. And what that case was about was, it was about a relatively new issue of whether the metadata on election tabulator computers is public record under Arizona public records law. And we won the case, established that it did. It was on behalf of a bipartisan group of citizens, including some who would later be involved in the audit, like John Brakey. And when they got that metadata off the election tabulators, at least from what my clients understand, after they analyzed it with their computer science experts and all of that, they found out that the county officials were printing early voting results before election day, which is super duper illegal. And there's no good reason.
Hold the phone. You mean there was actual election integrity issues before 2020?
Yeah.
You mean we haven't had the most free and secure election ever in history because it's happened before?
So this really frustrates me because prior to 2020, everybody knew we had major election security vulnerabilities. Elizabeth frickin' Warren. I love to drag out when I'm speaking to a group of liberals. I love to drag out her quote from 2019 that our, you know, election systems are incredibly vulnerable to hacking and they should be secured to support Knox, but they're not. And like, we have to secure these systems. And then of course, 2020, she must've hit her head because she got this terrible case of amnesia. But regardless, so after we did that, you know, always had a commercial practice, but always did some political work. 2020 came along and we had gotten wind that Adrian Fontes was sending this cross out instruction on early ballots, essentially saying, hey, oh yeah, we're gonna mail you a ballot. If it's wrong, you know, if you put the wrong thing, don't worry, you can cross it out and send back the ballot anyway, which sounds so innocuous and fine and whatever. Here's the problem, right? Is when you do that, then the ballot automatically goes to human adjudication, which means Adrian Fontes's handpicked people then get to decide who you intended to vote for. So we didn't think that was so great. We took them to the Arizona Supreme Court, got them to declare he was threatening to run an illegal and unconstitutional election. Actually, it was kind of a seminal case in Arizona election law for a couple of reasons that I'd probably get into with lawyers. But and then we represented President Trump's full slate of Arizona electors in Boyer versus Ducey, the decertification challenge that also sought to have the machines impounded and audited. And we worked really closely with members.
Did you say Boyer versus Ducey?
Not the bad Boyer.
Okay,
I remember I gave one speech and I accidentally said, oh, our client was Paul Boyer. I got it up. Like, no, not that Boyer.
When was he on our side?
Tyler Boyer, RNC, okay. Amen, Turning Point, that guy, good guy.
For those of you who are not in Arizona, Paul Boyer is a defector. He says he's a Republican, but's been voting against Republicans on election integrity issues. And when the Senate wanted to go and use the Senate at arms to go and get the county board of supervisors, we needed every single Republican on board, and he defected and said no. And one of the reasons why is he's very good friends with them. He wasn't following what his people wanted him to do. He did what he wanted to do, and his legislative district censored him after that. So that's
I don't think Chairwoman Ward would have picked that Boyer as an elector for president.
Okay.
she's a savvy woman. Not that one. We did a bunch of stuff after that. Our firm actually just won the TSA travel mandate case, Health Freedom Defense Fund versus Biden. I can't take the credit on that one because one of my partners out in Florida did most of the work, but we did a lot of work for Health Freedom Defense Fund, America's Frontline Doctors, during the fights over the vaccine and mask mandates.
And can you tell us about that? That's pretty bombshell stuff. Were you guys responsible for ending the mask mandate that's on the planes?
So yes, we were.
Fantastic. So, yeah, this is so why I like you so much. Yeah. I mean, I've liked you from the day I met you. I just think you're great. I
should qualify that by saying the credit goes to our client, Health Freedom Defense Fund.
Of course.
That was very patient, very savvy, and was willing, you know, I mean, when you're doing litigation like this, you have to lose a lot of cases before you win one. And they were willing to bear with us through the litigation strategy, through figuring out what would work, what wouldn't, until we finally got this great win of Health Freedom Defense Fund versus Biden. So
I fear they're going to try and do it again with monkeypox. I think it's going to be, they're going to try with monkeypox. So it'll be COVID 2.0. Because if you look at the Nuclear Threat Initiative, they are planning to shut down again in July. They already said this, they put that threat initiative together a couple of years ago, and they already planned out when monkeypox is going to be a thing, and it was going to be like around May 15th, and then in July they were going to do the shutdown and all these things. So I'm hoping, from what we experienced in COVID, that we were going to be a lot smarter this go around and not fall for the shenanigans this time.
I think we will be at least a little smarter. Right. The state legislature has now limited the governor's emergency powers authority. And so at least now it's simply a matter of keeping the state legislature accountable, which is a little bit easier than keeping the governor accountable.
So, it is. Yeah.
And I think people are just so fed up. I don't know that anybody will comply, especially if the economy keeps crashing because of all the shit that we did. Can I say that?
Say shit. I don't care. It's not. I'm not on live radio. That would be a different thing because FCC. I don't care.
But especially if the economy keeps crashing because of all the crazy stuff that we did during COVID, right? With all of these shutdowns and all of that, you know, I don't think people are going to have any appetite to do it again, because I think we're in for some significant economic pain. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm proud of you for all the work you've done. So how did you get involved? Because when I first met you, you came and talked at our group, and I was just like hanging on every word you were saying, the things you were saying, the way you're presenting the information. I was just so impressed with you. And I just wanted to hear more and more, because you had that inside scoop, because you helped out with the Arizona audit. How did you get involved with that?
It's like in the past 3 years, there's been so many big cases.
Oh, yeah, big for you.
In terms of saying how I actually got involved with the audit, things like that, I don't want to stray too far into privileged conversations. I'll just sort of say that we defended the audit at the preliminary injunction stage when the Democrats were trying to shut it down. We managed to stop the Democrats from shutting the audit down, which I'm very proud of. And that was really rewarding work to do. But anyway, what all of this sort of taught me was that there's a lot of areas where the state legislature, you know, we have a lot of good conservatives down the state legislature.
Yeah.
Not every Republican down there is good, but right. We have a lot of them. But where they struggle, right, is that they don't understand how to make, conservative legislation actually be effective and enforceable in the real world, by which I mean a lot of times what you see is a really great looking conservative bill that comes out and either it has no practical effect or nobody ever bothers to enforce it, or it gets struck down by the courts. And sometimes you really do want to push the envelope with legislation, right? You go, hey, I know I'm legislating in a gray area. I want to see what the courts do. But sometimes you're just doing it by mistake. Or I'll give you another example, what happened with the whole PC bill. For those who don't know, precinct committeemen are the elected grassroots of the Republican Party. We depend on them to a much greater extent than the Democrats do. And the state legislature, at least the conservative state legislature, but everybody in the state legislature, I think, unanimously voted to remove these 7,000 elected positions, and it would have killed us in the 2022 general election for House and Senate, not just state, but US. And the Democrats obviously snuck us into the fill, right? I mean, they know they're doing, but
they're so good about it. They're so
they're very savvy. Say what you will about our opponents, very savvy people. But the conservatives who voted for it, they voted for it because they didn't read the bill or they didn't understand its implications. Some of them read it, but they didn't understand what it would do. And you know, I sort of looked at it and immediately knew and why it was bad. And so I always tell people, look, you don't need a legislature full of Alex Collins. In fact, you probably don't want a legislature full of Alex Collins, right? I mean, you want a whole bunch of different life experiences and skill sets and all of that in there. But you need one Alex Collins to make sure that when you get together this wonderful conservative team with these wonderfully diverse skill sets and experiences, and they're trying to legislate and do things that conservatives want to do, to make sure that they manage to achieve their goals, right? And that's what I want to do. I want to go in there. I want to help us achieve goals on election integrity. I want to help us achieve goals on the border, right? Because that's another one of those complicated issues.
Big time.
That's, you know, this 10th Amendment thing versus, you know, what's federal, what's state. And I think fundamentally, a lot of members of the legislature, they don't even realize what's possible. They don't know the power that they have.
And I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out thecommandersartist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at thecommandersartist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you could support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today, use promo code Amber, and save some money at checkout. What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing with that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal, and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com. Promo code Amber May and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Because the framers of the U.S. Constitution, they did not make all the branches of the government co-equal, right?
Correct.
And they didn't make state and federal government co-equal. They made, right. Their design was that the state legislature would be the most powerful branch of government. So I want to just explain to my colleagues, hey, we all have the same goals, but did you know you have the power to do this and this and this and this? You know, like one of my ideas for the border is, hey, why don't we stand up a state guard, right? And why don't we send them down to the border and declare an invasion? The attorney general
yes.
says it's good, you know? But a lot of people, they don't even know that they can do that. They wouldn't even think about it.
And you're 100% right, because I reached out to my state reps and they're great men. They really are. And they didn't think they could do it on federal land. And I'm like, I don't understand how that's not possible, how we can't do something in Arizona because we have an invasion. And as a body of government, it is your duty to protect your citizens.
Absolutely.
So there has to be a way to do it. And they were kind of stuck. The fact that since Biden wasn't going to do it, it was impossible. And I just didn't feel that that was true. I felt like if there was a will, there was a way. And then when Carrie Lake came out and was saying things, I was like, finally, someone's going to do something. And now I'm hearing you. And it's so exciting that there is a way to protect the citizens of Arizona. Because when our federal government's doing a dereliction of duty, their main job, they don't have them as much power as they perceive that they give us a perception that they do. And unfortunately, I'm going to be the first to raise my hand and say I was kind of brainwashed for a while thinking they had more power than our state legislators. It's only been in the recent few years that I've kind of like woken up to like, hello, we have the 10th Amendment. They are way more, the states are way more powerful than the federal. It was the states that made the federal, not the federal that made the states. So their number one duty, they're derelicting it. I mean, that right there to me, I'm like, that's enough for impeachment by itself, I think, but who am I?
Well, I like that you used the phrase citizens of Arizona, because I get a lot of pushback when I say that, but I always tell people, I'm not a citizen of the United States only. I'm a citizen of the state of Arizona. And here's the difference between being a citizen of a place and a resident of a place, right? Is when you are a citizen of somewhere, then that place has both the right and the obligation to defend your rights, right? So when I say I'm a citizen of Arizona, I mean, I trust and rely on my state to defend my rights from not only foreign enemies, but from the federal government when they try to encroach on those rights. That is the fundamental duty of the state legislature. And that's what I'm going down there to do. I can't wait to go down and mix it up with Joe Biden, just like we have in the courtroom. I'm excited to do it.
I can't wait either, because I know you're going to be so good at it. I think you're going to be so good for Arizona. And what I'm excited about this next session is when you go in and when you win, you're going to be able to have more than just a one vote majority, because we've picked up seats all across Arizona. Yes. So it's not going to be as hard as it's been the last couple of sessions. And I think finally, I have so much hope for Arizona, and hope is a powerful tool. And that's why in my show, I'm not like Sean Hannity and tells you all the stupid, bad, horrible things happen to our country and then leave you there. I tell you all the bad, horrible things that's happening to our country, but then I tell you how we're going to fight it back. And I give you hope that we can still win and that we're going to succeed. Yes, we're on the brink of losing everything, but hope is a very powerful tool, and we can still bring this ship around and win. And having people like you, for the first time in my life, have you ever wanted to run for office before?
my wife thinks I'm crazy. Over the course of my career, I've grown increasingly frustrated dealing with some laws that I'm like, I could write better. So it's kind of been building, you know?
Well, see, for the first time in my life, I'm seeing regular people like you run for office. And I love that, because I really hope Josh Barnett wins your district. And I think he will. The hardest thing he has going against him, he would be your congressman, for people who do not know the structure. So Alex is running for like Eastern Phoenix area, Metro Phoenix, like Scottsdale, it's still in Maricopa County, but it's like the East Valley.
Basically Fountain Hills, North Scottsdale, Cape Creek, and then New River, that whole area. It's really wide.
Yeah, so your district would be the power team with you and Josh Barnett and Chaplick. The three of you guys will you guys will be so amazing for your constituents. I think you guys would be the trifecta. I think I'm excited for your area, because we need more trifectas like that across our state. And I'm excited because this time we're going to have Carrie Lake win. I'm almost positive she's going to win. And I don't know how you feel about Mark Fincham, but I'm really a big fan of Mark Fincham. And so if he wins, I'm going to be so super excited. Then when you win, I hope you invite me to your party, because I'd love to go and celebrate with you. Tell us a little bit about your platform, but because I know you have an appointment to get to, and I don't want to let that go. So tell us a little bit about your platform and what you're hoping to achieve when you enter into the House of Representatives in Arizona.
All right. So a couple of things. First, we have to secure our elections, right? There's nobody who more fundamentally or deeply understands the problems with our elections and how to fix them than I do. And so I understand the need, and I was talking about one person, one vote, one day on paper in your precincts, no machines, before almost anybody else was, because I understood that fundamentally that is the only solution. Now people say things about, well, what about the old, sick, disabled, all of that? And Arizona actually had a system pre-1991, that really took into account of them. And I would modify the system slightly, but here's essentially what it would do. Is, okay, let's say that you're laid up in the hospital, right? Or you're in a nursing home or whatever. An elections official and elections observers bring you the ballot. No mail, no break, no breach of the chain of custody, no hands that's just passing through that we don't know, right? Election official observers bring you the ballot. They make sure that nobody else is there in the room, because one of the big problems that's been noted many, many times is that these Democratic organizations or community organizers or whatever, they'll go in, they'll pressure people in vulnerable situations, or their unions or employers will, to vote a certain way. That's one of the big problems with early balloting. And you can avoid that by having the elections official there observing to make sure that that's not happening. You make sure you fill out your ballot in private in a way that they can't see it. When you're done, you seal it in the envelope and hand it back to the elections official. Okay, and then they take it back with a perfect chain of custody. So for people that really legitimately cannot go to the polls on election day, there is a mechanism. But for everybody else, it's one person, one vote, one day in your precinct, no machines. Because
I love that idea. My only thing is I've been telling all elected officials, please give the police officers, firefighters, first responders the ability to vote mail-in ballot, because there are times they're on scene, they cannot leave their scene and go vote. So I think, like the nursing home, that would be the only exception I would see to it. But I am 100% on board, because we need to take back our election. It's just been years. And, you know, I started questioning our election integrity back in when Obama was running and winning. And I started wondering how he had such poor rate. Everyone I talked to, nobody liked him, especially after the free healthcare that went crazy and jacked up all of our prices. I'm like, how did he win again? So that's kind of when I started getting alerted. But then I just put it in the back of my mind and kept going and kept going. And then 2020 happened, and bam, it was in your face fraud, in your face. So sorry, not to cut you off.
Let me hit a couple of my other points real quick. Border, right? Mm-hmm. Two things. We stand up the state guard. We empower the governor to send them down to the border, but we also make them an autonomously organizing guard. So hey, the state's going to create a stockpile with proper equipment for you. The state's going to give you the ability to enforce state laws down at the border, like trespassing or anything like that. If you're coming in and you say you're seeking asylum, you know, they will send you back over the border. If remain in Mexico is in effect, and if remain in Mexico gets struck down by the courts eventually, then they will detain you until you can have your day in court to make sure that you don't go loose. So the nice thing about them being autonomously organizing and electing their own officers is that if the governor, God forbid, is somebody who doesn't want to send them down to the border, then they can do it on their own, and they have state equipment and funding and training and authority to do what the people of Arizona want them to do, even if the governor decides not to do it. So that's the first part. Second part is we got to finish the wall. People say, well, what about the tribal land, right? Well, we can't build a wall on tribal land, they're sovereign nation. That's true. I would say, hey, if you're a sovereign nation, and we're just going to treat that as an extension of the international border. If here's your tribe, right, here's the border with Mexico, then that's fine. We'll build a wall on your northern border, no problem. Give you a key to go in and out, right? It's not a big problem. I don't think they're going to like that. Maybe they'll change their tune on the wall. So that's my plan on the border, on water issues.
Yes, big time.
Which is becoming very, very, very important. One of the issues that we're dealing with, especially in rural Arizona, is, and this is a problem in our elections too, it's a problem everywhere, is we have these big corporations. They come in, they stick down the longer straw, right? They suck out the small farmers' groundwater. And in Pinal County, a lot of these big corporations are actually getting surface water, getting renewable water, right? But of limited supply. And they're paying less for that water. You're paying less for that water than small horse farmers up in Rio Verde, than people who live in North Scottsdale, than the city of Scottsdale. They're paying less for that water. They're getting it subsidized by the taxpayer so that they can make their big agribusiness profits. And fundamentally, we got to put an end to this, because we have enough water in this state. It's just that we use up a third of it in this fashion. I'm a big believer in the free market. Socialism causes shortages.
Right.
Capitalism causes plenty, right?
If exactly.
These big agribusinesses actually had to pay the cost of the delivery of the water, right, they would start using it a lot more efficiently. They'd probably stop some operations that don't make economic sense. And we would pretty much have a silver bullet to solve the water shortage. It's just, you know, because I hear plans like, you know, we're gonna run a pipeline to the Mississippi, or we're gonna create these multi-billion dollar desalinization plants. And I understand it may not be politically feasible to stop the subsidies to big ag, and that these big plans may be necessary. But I go, oh my God, isn't that using the most taxpayer money intensive, complicated solution to a problem the free market could solve? So that's kind of how I feel.
Well, I'm open to your idea. I liked Carrie Lake's idea about, you know, either desalinization or bringing money, water in, only because when I look at some of the major bodies of water, they're like depleting big time. So I have been under the assumption like we don't have enough water in Arizona. So if you have other ideas, like I'm so open to that.
Big ag in Pinal County, specifically in Pinal County, you won't believe how much water they use. They use enough water to supply 1/3 of Maricopa County's total needs. That's how much water they use, right? That's why I say we have enough water. And here's the other thing you won't believe, it's true, right? Arizona's population has exploded over the past 50 years. You know how much more water residential water users use than they did 50 years ago? Zero. Not per capita, not per person, total zero. We don't use any more water for residential water users. Homes have gotten that much more efficient. People have gotten that much better at conservation. So we have plenty of water for growth. We have plenty of water for our businesses. What we don't have enough water to do is subsidize it as taxpayers and say, go waste it. That's what we can't do. And that's what I want to stop. So again, if it's not politically feasible to do that because big ag is too strong, you know, the lobbyists are too strong or whatever, then yes, maybe we will need to desalinize. Maybe we will need to pipe in water. But I said, let's try the free market first. How about that? On guns, as you know, and our Second Amendment rights, the Arizona Constitution's Second Amendment is much better than the federal Second Amendment. It's much more clear, hard to work your way around. The right of the citizen to bear arms in defense of himself and his state shall not be. So, look, if Congress passes this stupid gun control legislation and Biden signs it, which he will, we're going to have to be very, very aggressive about it. And there's a lot the state government can do. First of all, we can and must say no state officer is allowed to enforce, nobody on the state payroll, contractor, salary, is allowed to help enforce red flag laws in any way. That's called anti-commandeering. State courts are not permitted to hear red flag cases, right? We divest them of jurisdiction. This jurisdiction of the courts is statutory. And say, hey, you got to shove that through the federal court, every red flag case. And then we say, if you, Mr. Citizen of Arizona, remember, if you are taking an active role in undercutting the rights of your fellow citizens by participating in a red flag lawsuit, not permit, and shame on you, here's the thing. We really, really hope that you you never look for a new career. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to say that any private sector employer who employs or hires as an independent contractor somebody who has been a plaintiff or a lawyer who brought a red flag suit or a law enforcement official who participated in a red flag suit, which again won't be any of our state law enforcement, right? We'll be the FBI. Any one of you, if you ever go to work for a private sector company, then the state of Arizona is prohibited from giving that company a government contract. And I don't think any employers will hire those people. And I don't think anybody's gonna wanna kill their future career by working on a red flag law. So you do exactly what the Dems do to us, right? You say, you've made a nice law. Here's how we're gonna neuter your law, right? Here's how we're gonna make your law unenforceable. And then, you know, the other component of it is, you know, restrictions on gun sales, to certain age restrictions on sales of certain types of guns, whatever. Here's the thing. We produce a lot of firearms in Arizona domestically, right?
That's
true. By which I mean in the state, right? The federal government has the power to regulate interstate commerce, right? But my position is if a gun is manufactured in Arizona and sold to an Arizonan, that ain't interstate commerce.
No, it's not.
And so what we say is great. You know, we love your restrictions on sales of certain types of firearms to Arizonans. Actually, thank you, Joe Biden, for imposing this restriction, because here's what you've done. You've just given the Arizona gun manufacturers an enormous new customer base. And actually, Arizona gun manufacturers is we're going to say, not only can you sell the kinds of guns we can buy today in intrastate commerce inside of Arizona, but we're also going to allow you to sell to Arizonans fully automatic AR-15s, fully automatic AK-47s inside of Arizona. So thank you very much, Joe Biden, for building up our domestic gun manufacturers. If you want to read my full policies, if you want to donate, if you want to get involved in our campaign, please go to alex4az.com. That's www.alex4az.com. That's the word for, not the number for. So A-L-E-X-F-O-R-A-Z.
I had the number.
if you want to get in touch with me, you get in touch with me through the website, send me a message, just of course my business email, and I'll see it. And I'm happy to answer any questions of any constituent in LD3. I hope that you guys turn out to vote. The primary is the election in LD3. There is no Democrat running in the general.
That is happening in Arizona, in my district too. The House reps in my district, it's the primary is the general. There's no Democrats running against them.
The primary is the general. So
that surprised me. I was surprised that they didn't scurry and come up with a candidate to run against our candidates. That really kind of surprised me.
The Dems have been putting in a weak effort this year. It makes me suspicious, but anyway.
That makes me suspicious too. I'm like, why are they doing that? Okay, my like spider senses are going off. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah, so anyway, primary is August 2nd. If you listen to Amber May's show, you're probably gonna cast your ballot in person on August 2nd, as I will be. I love, because we're doing this lawsuit with Alan Dershowitz real quick before I have to go, about trying to rule the post-1991 system of no excuses mail-in voting unconstitutional. And the Arizona Republic ran a hit piece on me too. It was like, well, Mr. Colladen has voted by mail before. And I'm like, yeah, I voted by mail before I started doing election law. Then after that 2014 case I told you about, my clients say, hey, Alex, I know you like voting by mail. Mm-hmm. Do me a favor, just as an experiment, try to get off the permanent early voting list. See how hard it is. It took me about 2 years to get off. I never voted by mail ever again. Because it's a terrible, terrible system. That case taught me exactly why it was a terrible system. So whatever. But if you do vote by mail and you like to take your chances, early ballots will be dropping in about 3 weeks. They'll be in your mailbox about three, four weeks. And so again, I encourage you. You get to pick two for the seat, and I would humbly ask for your vote to be one of those picks for state rep.
Arizona, yes, House, please. I ask you too. And pick Joseph Chaplick to be his running mate, please. I like that, the two that, of that you very
be,
much.
That would be very nice. That would be very
You guys
nice.
Are the power team. I'm you got the two. Oh, man. I'm excited. I'm really excited for Arizona. I'm excited you're running. And I'm glad that we got to meet. And I really enjoyed hearing what you have to say. So thank you so much for coming on my program today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
So when I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. I am not going anywhere else. From now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from mypillow.com/Amber. And you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas, or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to mypillow.com/Amber. Use promo code Amber, save up to 66% off, and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable, super comfortable. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult dose is 2. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So 1 tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring. And then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip. And what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.